Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show tonight, our Thursday night Survivor show.
If you guys have a question on Survivor, you guys can call in 347-237-5506. Let's have a great show, guys.
Welcome, Survivor fans. This is your Rad Reality Show Network. We connect you to the reality stars you love. It's February 25th, 2016. I'm Cherry Garcia, and I thank you so much for joining us tonight for the Mike and the Mike Show with host Mike Albright. His special guest tonight is the beautiful Jillian Larson from Survivor Gabon, and she's also the founder of Reality Rally, one of the biggest, most well-organized, fun, and cherished reality star charity events in the nation, which takes place in Temecula, California, and supports Michelle's Place, a breast cancer resource center that provides services for the entire family. Of course, they'll be recapping Survivor Karong and talking about Reality Rally tonight. So if you'd like to call in and chat with them, our number again is 1-347-237-5506. And don't forget to press the number one key on your phone once you're on our switchboard. Let's have a great show. Here we go.
Super fan, Big Mike. Big Mike, you're up.
Hey, welcome to the show. This is, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. I know your state of affairs, so for those of you that really appreciate the auditory skills of Sherry Garcia, you're going to not hear them much tonight. You're just going to get to hear my beautiful soprano voice. Soprano, wow, baritone voice. I don't think soprano, but we're here to recap episode 2 of Survivor Karong. What an exciting episode, and I know our guest is on the switchboard. I'm pretty sure we were just chatting, so I know they're ready to roll. I've seen the episode twice. I have 5 pages of notes. I'm full of opinions and thoughts. So, yeah, that's how I'm feeling right now.
Would you like to go ahead and bring Jillian up?
Sure, for sure. One thing she asked is definitely to hear the promo at some point, so I know you're awesome and
absolutely.
We'll have that ready at some point. So we'll talk for a while, and then we can maybe promo it and then keep talking some more.
Okay, let's do this. Here we go. Jillian, thank you so much for calling in tonight. You're on with Mike Albright.
Oh, I'm so thrilled again. Thank you so much for having me on board. I'm a little hoarse because I talk too much. So I'm going to sound maybe not quite like myself, but Thank you, Cherry, and thank you, Mike, for having me on board. I just love the opportunity to talk to your listeners, and I'm dying to hear everything that you have to say, Mike, about last night.
Oh, yeah, for sure, and I'm surprised that we're four seasons in my tenure with the show. I replaced the big shoes of Coach Ben Wade and Travis Bubba Sampson. I just hadn't reached out to her. That's my mistake. Didn't even think about it, but I definitely wanted to – we highlighted the Durham Warrior Survival Challenge and Give Kids the World, the episode before the premiere last week, so – we're just trying to round out with all the huge events going on. And the first one of the ones I wanted to talk about for sure was Reality Rally. So for those,
I believe you.
Yeah, well, no problem. And I know you, I think you're on Michelle's Manic Monday show a while ago talking about it. But just to, if anyone only listens to this show, I guess what was the impetus for Reality Rally? And you're in your, are you guys in your, is this the sixth one or fifth one? I can't recall.
Yeah, we're going into the sixth year. It's the sixth year coming up, which is basically around the corner. It's on April 7th, 8th, and 9th this year. And, you know, people I suppose know that I was on Survivor. And I was Survivor Gabon season 17. And I tried for 8 years to get on. I just never gave up. I didn't understand that driving passion that was making me do it because I really didn't think there was any kind of afterlife afterwards. But it became quite clear to me that my drive to get on Survivor was actually to get on Survivor, off Survivor, or through Survivor, and then off Survivor in order to have something that I could do with the platform that I'd got, or that, but from being on Survivor. And while I was in boot camp or loser lodge or whatever people might want to call it, I had a 5-week vacation, and I thought, what can I do with this experience? And walking in the jungle for, 5 hours a day, because I was training for a 60-mile walk, I just came up with this idea. Wow, I guess I'm now connected to this reality world. And I love the city of Temecula, the town of Temecula, the area around it, all the valley, all the towns. And Michelle was a young woman who died at 26 of misdiagnosed breast cancer. So I thought, boy, I have to put those three things together. Bring reality stars to Temecula, but let me mention, in case people don't know, the reality stars who participate have to raise $500 for Michelle's place in order to attend the event, because I want, this is a fundraiser, and I really want people who are here for their heart and not just for the fun, and it is fun. It's a crazy, amazing, awesome weekend, and Michelle was a young woman who died unnecessarily. So part of our message is, first of all, fundraising for them so that they can provide the services they do. And they're going into their 15th year. And I was actually at a speaking engagement this morning, and Michelle's Place director was there. And they have provided over 100,000 services in 15 years to people that have been struck by breast cancer. And they totally rely on funding and fundraising. So that's why we do what we do. And, yeah, it's pretty awesome. And it's basically a health awareness. If you get a diagnosis from somebody that says, oh, don't worry about that lump, young girls get lumps, or don't worry about that, go get a second opinion. Just find out from two people. And don't take no for an answer. Just seek it out. So that's a big part of our message as well. So, yeah, Survivor gave me this huge platform to do a really fun event. And also, gosh, it's opened up to my world to knowing so many fun, amazing people, and you, Michael, one of them, and all the other people that we keep meeting. But thank you. It's been great getting to know you. And, Cherry, thank you for all the radio time. It's been awesome.
Oh, well, you're quite welcome, Jillian. We love having you on. You're just so inspiring. We adore having you on and just appreciate everything that you do. Your story is just one of the most amazing stories, and what you do for people out there in Temecula with breast cancer is just incredible. And, you know, the story that you have to share with people is so inspiring to everybody, because, you know, it just came from back at Survivor, and it shows that you can take that thought and just from, you know, that one thought, it Ponderosa, you took it home with you and grew that thought into one of the most amazing charity events we have now. And it's six years strong now. And look at the people that are attending. I mean, people are knocking your door down to attend this event. And
absolutely, Jerry. But I'd like to just interject quickly that, yes, it was certainly an idea that came to me in the jungle of Gabon while I was on Ponderosa. But it has grown to this huge extent because of every component of it that is making it happen. You guys are the media for us. You've helped share the word, the word we do. We have reality stars who come every year and help, you know, raise money because they have to. And many of them do it. Well, I should say all of them do it, not because they have to, because they want to. And then we have the most amazing production team that helps put this on. That many of them work all year with me. Lily, who's the celebrity relations handler, director, 7 handlers with her, and she works with me nearly all year because you can imagine working with like up to 130 reality stars every year, trying to make sure they've got the information. It's a huge job. And then Galen, our logistics guy, and Joni, our media. And I mean, it's just amazing. Everybody takes a part in it to make
Jillian,
it happen.
All
otherwise,
comes
it wouldn't
back
happen.
To you. It all comes back to you. It comes back to you by being the amazing person that you are, and everybody wants to do it for you. You chose that wonderful, amazing charity, Michelle's Place. You went out and chose that, and people want to do it for who you are, for the amazing charity that you chose. You put all these things in place, and being the wonderful person with the big heart that you are, people want to be there and do these things for you and for the charity you chose. And that's why you have all these people that want to do this for you and for Michelle's Place. You know, you have how many volunteers now that work for you out there putting this event on?
The production team, as I call it, the ones who do a lot of the, you know, leading up to work, the behind the scenes, the production of every area. I've got 12 that are major director leader people that have an area that they run. And then with those people, there are 70 altogether of the production team in different teams. And you can see that on our website, actually, realityrally.com, under About Us. And it shows all the people in what area they work in so many. I mean, we've got a social media team and you know, logistics team and so many. And then on the weekend, we have about 400 volunteers who come and help. And, you know, people
That's
come
amazing.
From all over the country. We've actually, to play the game this year, we have people coming from Australia. We have 4 people coming from Australia. We have 2 people coming from South Africa. We have people coming from all across the country to play and to play and have fun in the amazing race kind of game. Enjoy the weekend events, see, you know, Wilson Creek Winery, Palomesa Resort, and, you know, and Temecula. And then the most important part to me is the visit to Michelle's Place. I want them to meet this wonderful family that's fulfilling their daughter's dying wish to provide services to those going through what she went through, which there was nowhere to reach out except obviously family, friends, and her doctors here. So they are just awesome people, and I want every star who comes, plus our VIPs. We had a VIP package which is closed, but it was developed to help people that are not from town come easier. So it was $1,000 to get the package, but it's a $2,100 value. They get their room, they ride on the bus with the stars, they go all over the place, they get tickets to every part of the event. So those people are coming from all over the country as well, and they all go to Michelle's Place as well. And this past year, the visit to Michelle's Place, there was a young woman, Jennifer, who had been diagnosed with breast cancer when she was 5 months pregnant. And she was there to speak to everybody and to kind of put a face to what is it we do? You know, who do we raise money for to support them and through their journey battling breast cancer? And she shared, you know, how it had been and what she'd been going through and was just bright and peppy and such a wonderful attitude. And she died 4 months later. And I let all the stars know, and her child was then 5. And that is why we do what we do, because we know that it makes an impact. And she couldn't say enough about Michelle's Place. And they so rely on funding. And talking about funding, if anybody's listening out there, you certainly can still donate. The stars that are on the lineup, which is realityrally.com, under Reality Stars, those are the ones that did raise their $500 and more, I have to tell you, to be at Reality Rally this year. But they're still raising money to reach the other levels of recognition, and that isn't until April 2nd. So go and see if there's somebody you want to donate a little to. Just put in a buck or two. You know, you just never know if it's your dollar that'll save a life. So fundraising is still up and alive, so anybody listening can certainly go in and...
And I think it's important to say that, you know, some people may feel like, you know, oh, I can only donate, you know, $5 and I don't want to, you know, it's kind of embarrassing that I can only donate $5. You can be anonymous if you don't want to say, oh, I can only donate $5. Yep. You can do that anonymously. So you don't have to put your name out there. And that $5 could be what saves somebody's life. It's so important. Donate whatever you can, you know. $5 is a lot, and
absolutely,
you can donate more, donate it, but, you know, donate whatever you can, and put your name out there, be proud of what you can donate, but if you don't want to, you know, put your name out there, you don't have to, you can be anonymous and donate whatever you can also, so, you know, clean out your car, change, clean out your couch, grab that change, and
skip the Starbucks one way. Don't go to McDonald's for don't buy that stupid extra value meal. You could be putting your money towards something that's not a bunch of empty calories and garbage, and you can make a good donation. And you can do it anonymously if you don't want to make a $5 donation. Or you can, if you're rich, you can make $100 donation every reality story you care about. You know, open up your purse strings, and it's all got to be, I'd imagine, tax deductible. So for those penny pinchers or miserly people, you'll get something back besides the goodness in your heart that you've helped someone. So, you know, make a donation. And I know my buddies, the three amigos, I'm almost certain are going to be there, and I know they're pretty prolific in the race component. And I hope they do well again. For those of you that don't know, Rick, John, and Steve are. I've been poster children for the event before.
They are
amazing men, and they raise a truckload of money, and they'll knock your socks off on the race. So watch out for them.
They're actually been our top fundraising team for the past 5 years. They have raised well over $10,000 every year, and you know, and it's amazing, and they are just awesome, and we love them because. First of all, they're just awesome guys. But secondly, you know, they almost represent, well, they do. They represent the fan world, which to me is hugely valuable because without fans, I'm a fan. Without fans, reality TV would not be continuing. It's the people out there that are watching, just like us, that are fans. And that's part of the reason we developed our VIP pass so that fans could come easier. Without fans, and the three amigos are awesome. I won't disclose at this point what they're doing this year because I want everybody to watch it. And by the way, just watch our website because we live stream the entire Saturday. And the live stream is global, plus it's connected to our local channels, Temecula and area channels on TV. And so we live stream everything, and watch our website because right on the front, ahead of time, I will post the live stream link. But then during the event, you can actually watch Reality Rally on our homepage to see what we're doing, and we won't have one dead moment at all. And we'll be having the amigos up there after a certain time to talk about, you know, what they do and how they're so part of Reality Rally every year and certainly other events. I mean, John does an amazing job with, you know, Bob doing the Durham Warriors. And, just amazing people. And this all came out of Reality TV, so we can all thank Mark Burnett. I guess. That's where
we're huge fans of Mark Burnett. Sherry was an old Eco Challenge viewer. I was not aware of him until Survivor, but yeah, I can't believe the amazing people, 431 survivors, probably 100 some Big Brother people, and people from the race, and then a bunch of people from other shows. And for me, it's really hard to keep track if they're not on a CBS show for me, but I still care about them all. And they're just an amazing thing. I met so many cool other fans and people just from around the world just at these different charity events. So it's an amazing part of my life. And one of the reasons I'm getting in shape is I love this show so much, I want to officially try to be on it. So I need to be in a more competitive nature there. So it's just a huge part of everything. And I love the shows. I love the charity. I love the people. It's amazing.
Well, congratulations to you, Mike, for what you're doing. I mean, you've made a decision, and boy, you're moving forward with that. I mean, good for you.
It's gangbusters. I was hoping to make an announcement this weekend. It was 150 pounds, but I'm real close, just not there yet. And then the fight continues after that. I was looking online. I found out, because one of the things on my bucket list is the skydive, and you have to tandem dive, and there's weight restrictions in different states. But I found Texas is the highest weight limit. Everything's bigger in Texas. So when I'm down to 280, some anorexic jockey is going to jump on my back, and we're jumping out of an airplane somewhere in Texas. And
no,
it's going to be a fun experience. They can jump, 20,000 pounds of cargo, but they can't drop me out of a plane yet. But whatever, it's coming around the corner. So, and I'll get my butt out to the Reality Rally someday, too. It's always conflicting with our Relay for Life on campus, and the one year it didn't, I had planned a trip to Vegas, so now I feel like a horse's ass never setting foot in Temecula, California, but by God, I will be there soon.
Yeah, I want you here, and you can interview and podcast right from here. Rob has a part. Rob Cicinino has done podcasting from here several times as well. So, yeah, plan on it for next year. Come out, and we can set you up with podcast stations. You can interview all kinds of people. And like you said, on our website anyway, we have people coming from, I think it's like 40 different TV shows. And we don't keep it just for Survivor, Amazing Race, Big Brother, Big Brother Canada, etc. Because, everybody's got a fan base. Some people don't care two hoots about Survivor, but they love Bar Rescue. They don't, they don't love Bar Rescue, but they like Naked and Afraid. So every one of those shows have a following, and that's what we do, is bring people from different shows so that our public and our fans, obviously public and fans pretty much the same, they can talk to people and say, hey, what was it like on Naked and Afraid? What was it like on Bar Rescue? Tell us a little about it. So it gives people, I call it a smorgasbord of reality stars. You can talk to people because they come for the public. They come to mix and mingle. I don't keep them separated at all, which, I'll never do. They're here to mix and mingle with everybody. And you know what? Hey, we're all just ordinary people as well. We just had a wonderful opportunity to get on an amazing show, Survivor in this case, but in the case of so many other shows. And, hey, the public want to meet us. They want to talk to us. They still want to talk to me.
Yeah.
It's been 8 years.
I don't want to come off as an elitist. I just said it's hard for me to – I can keep track of the Survivors, and I can keep track of the Big Brothers. Even the Amazing Race people, it's the whatevers and the whatevers and the whatevers. It's just the volume of people. I love reality TV. So Bar Rescue, Taffer, he's a good dude. And I watch a lot of reality TV. I don't barely even watch network TV except for The Late Show. So I support it all. I just don't know who the – some of the people are sometimes, and I'm like, well, I'm glad you were on a show, and I'm glad you're doing charity. And the good thing, some of those old events are just a big old party, which is fun in itself as well, but I love the requirements there that they have to actually raise money. And I think Mike Nunes has emulated that and some other event organizers to make sure the stars don't just want to come have a great time and party, because, a lot of people want to do that, but then their hearts are in the right place, and and so are their donations, so that's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's why we do it. I'm sorry, and we actually, on the deadline, which was February 10th, because then we have to book the beds and book the seats, and we have to make payments and all those things. So So, you know, there's a deadline. They have to have the money in on that date. And we remind everybody. It's not like it suddenly comes across everybody. And they do. And then there's probably about, I think it was maybe 15 people this year that had a fallout. Some got a work assignment they couldn't get out of. But the others didn't quite make that 500. And others made far more than that. So, yeah, it's crazy. But I was, you talked about watching the different weight shows. I was at the Biggest Loser finale on Monday. And,
how amazing. It
was very cool. Now, I watch Biggest Loser scatteredly. I hate to say it, but I DVR most of the shows that I do, you know, have people come from. But I don't have time to sit and watch the whole thing, so I DVR through it, you know, whatever. So I'd watched scatteredly Biggest Loser, and gosh, it was very interesting going to their finale. And, you know, I wanted to say hi to Richard, and, he waved and said, "Oh, my gosh, hi, Jillian." And then the man that's rah-rahed the crowd says, "Who are you waving at?" And I said, "Richard." So Richard yells out, "Tell them about Reality Rally." So I kind of gave the 400-500 people in the audience the brief version of what Reality Rally is, and, of course, threw out the word Temecula, which was great. So.
It was fun watching Ash on that show. It was a little weird, though, because at one point they were possibly going to be celebrities with partners, because this summer, you know, Richard was talking to me, I guess, when he thought of fat people in the United States. I was one of the few people he thought of, but it was neat to be, you know, talking to them, and they wanted some just basic information. But at that point, I had way too much to lose in the time frame of the show, so...
Oh,
that's understandable, but it's cool that, you know, Richard was on there. I wish he had gotten to be on there longer, but it's amazing. Who won the Biggest Loser? I should know more about reality TV, but who won?
Yeah, it was one of the twin guys.
Okay.
Yeah, I hate to say, Roberto and the other one, and I think it was Roberto. Sorry, I'm really sounding very stupid here, and I was even there. But absolutely,
that's okay,
incredible.
Sorry.
Incredible.
How much did he lose? What did he lose?
Something like 150 pounds or 160 pounds.
Okay.
Totally different. I feel
for those guys then if they were dropping that much, because I know what it's like mentally, psychologically, and physically, and to have to do it on TV, that would be crazy. So.
Wow. Yeah, and his brother was the winner of the at-home competition, because once they leave, they continue to... You know, follow the steps so that they can lose weight, continue to. And he won the at home by, I think, losing like 120 or something around that.
Wow.
And then the one guy that was a husband and wife couple, he was kind of basically the one of the three top, you know, finalists. And he just, I mean, it's like, wow, I couldn't even believe what they looked like. It was crazy. So it was a fun event to go to.
Well, cool. Well, I think it's interesting, and I didn't even think about it when I invited you on the show, but as a second boot, and that's what this particular episode was, it's interesting how these things work out. Another thing, because we had Bob on 2 weeks ago, I'm fascinated. Two people from Gabon put together two amazing events that are, you know, not completely different, but somewhat different from each other on the two sides of the country. It's just weird about what, I don't know about Survivor Gabon, that because those are the only two events that were generated, that are currently operational by past cast members that are of a large nature. And it's just interesting, they're both from your season. Any idea why it's just two people from Gabon?
I think it's because both Bob and I have our hearts in the right place. He was selected by, you know, he was found. I certainly begged for 8 years, but he was recruited essentially because, you know, they saw him, and, you know, I think it was maybe through Julie Berry or something. But anyway, I just think that it was because we were the two old people on that season, and we just sort of have, you know, the hearts for doing something more with our experience. And John, of course, was looking, John Mateo of the Three Amigos, as he's become known, he was looking for a place to put his event on that he'd had a dream about for years. But he hadn't found the right environment. So, of course, and there, you know, I call this the ripples. First of all, they're ripples of Reality Rally that happened. But this to me is the ripple of Survivor and reality TV. They met. Bob talked about where he lives, and he lives in the 30-acre woods, and Winnie the Pooh is not there. So and then John was saying, gosh, I've been looking for a place. Would you be interested in hosting this? And so they hopped on board. And, you know, I don't know. It's just, I think it's awesome that the two, I used to call ourselves the Safari Bookends because we were both wearing similar clothes and both old. And I told the photographers very quietly, I said, don't put Bob on one side and me on the other because it'll definitely look like the Safari Bookends. So, yeah, I think it is interesting. And, yeah, you're right. When she was booted last night, I thought, oh, boy. In fact, my husband said to me, she knows what you felt like, and you know what she felt like. So, yeah, mm-hmm. I felt for her. Except I wasn't blindsided.
Yeah.
We do have a caller that's been waiting for a while. And just let me know when you'd like me to play that promo as well.
Well, I think we can do the promo at some point. I'd like to get a caller, and I have a guess of who it could be. Some people were talking about calling in. I guess just before the call, before we recap even, Jillian, who did you like and not like and were kind of neutral about just going into the promos, into the last week, the premiere, and then after a week of seeing them again, I guess, you know, who do you still like or dislike or kind of neutral on from the cast?
Well, you know, when I was on from the couch for years, I used to think, oh, my gosh, that person's annoying. Oh, my gosh, that person's something or other. Having been there, I vowed and declared I would never say, you know, oh, my gosh, that person's annoying, or my gosh, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very hard for me for the first few episodes and also looking at their, you know, their death fake or whatever that thing's called, mm-hmm. to actually make an opinion. But I don't know, maybe some people have thought, oh, good grief. I mean, I think I first of all have to take my hat off to the 72-year-old guy. I mean, good Lord.
Oh, Joe, yeah.
Joe, I mean, first of all, that is really cool that he's 72. I was 61 when I got on. So I take my hat off to him, first of all. I think that is totally awesome. And then Ty, I think I'm enjoying him. It's funny, and I think we all do this. So many of the cast every year, well, twice a year, are so similar to somebody before them. I mean, they just seem to have this cookie cutter that goes along. And Ty, of course, made me think of Yao Man immediately. Of course, you know, that's stereotypical, but still similar sort of things. And, of course, that may simply be the Asian. But, and, of course, we didn't have enough time to know more about Darnell. And I still am not sure why Alicia is on Braun. Maybe it's just so that everybody will talk about her like we all are, saying, why are we on Braun? And, of course, last night we saw mostly, you know, the whole thing about the Braun, you know, losing, and then the whole tribal council thing, which was very interesting. Who are you liking?
I also have a harder time critiquing since I, you know, doing previous on Survivor, and I'm inevitably going to, since Samoa, I've met every cast member, so it's tricky to, you know, go in too hard with opinions, but in general, I like the Beauty Tribe because I got to meet those three girls at Andrea's event, you know, 3 weeks before the season even started, so Julia, Michelle, and Anna, they're beautiful women, and they're smart, and I like the tribe in general. I like Ty. Caleb kind of, I didn't like him in Big Brother, and he was a bit annoying, but I like him more. I liked him more this episode. Nick's the only one on the Beauty Tribe I'm not really, I think he's hilarious, but this episode we barely got to see him. The Brains Tribe I want to like, because that would be my category if I ever made the show out of these three, I think. Definitely over Beauty or Braun, but the Brains Tribe, there's just something about many of them that I just can't connect. I like Aubrey. She's my favorite, probably. Then I like Joe and Neil, too. But Liz and Debbie and Pete aren't my cup of tea. And then the Braun Tribe, I'm not really digging anybody on Braun. Jason's interesting and a good character, and he'll give you a good soundbite. I think he's playing a little too hard too fast, and he also wants to emulate Russell Hance's game style. and that didn't really work out for Russell. So if he wants to play like that, he may get to the end, but he won't do well. And yep. I like Scott Pollard. I didn't know him much at all before the season, but I love the voice. And last night was one of the first times I've ever tried to live tweet and take notes for this show. And I was all over the Twitter thing more than normal, and Scott liked a couple of my tweets, so I'm going to support Scott Pollard because I think he's a great character, and he's the second tallest ever and one, probably the biggest guy because some of the, you know, Mitchell was an inch taller but about 120 pounds wider.
Yeah,
Cliff's the same thing, just a leaner guy, and he's just a beast. So, yeah, that's kind of who I like.
You know, I'm thinking back about yesterday, too. You know, and Kyle is so, or he's so, or Jason, what did he go by, Jason? Yeah, he goes by Jason. He didn't go by his first name.
It's weird. He's a very interesting guy.
But, you know, he was so sunburned. So I'm, having been there myself in the heat, and we had cloud a lot of the time in Gabon, but I remember so many of my tribe standing around saying, oh, my God, it's so hot, you know, I'm so hot. And they're standing in the sun. Get out of the sun when you don't have to be in it. And I'm always aware of that, and I'm watching everybody. And, yes, obviously the cameras are only showing 1 minute out of every 300 minutes, but get out of the sun when you don't have to be in it. Otherwise, you are going to get burned, and you're going to get extra dehydrated, and you're going to get extra tired. Get in the shade.
Relax. It happened to Aubrey. They're giving Aubrey a hard time, and then Liz had it. And Jason's pretty tough from being in the military, but the sun's a whole different thing in the tropics versus even where he was in Iraq and Afghanistan. So that'd be one of my biggest fears is, you know, I'm a ginger, so.
Yeah.
There's albinos, and then there's me, and then there's the rest of the world. So I would be very, very worried about getting a burn. It would be like Cochran. I think I might be slightly whiter than Cochran.
Well, stay out of the sun. That's what I tell everybody. You know, just stay out of the sun because now the guy's got weeping blisters, and that has a physical effect. I mean, it's going to suck his electrolytes even more.
Yep.
So stay out of the sun. You know, that's all I can say.
And even if you're not on an island, stay out of the sun because skin cancer is one of the easiest ways to get cancer and have problems. So, you know, use your sunscreen and stay out of the sun, people. This is your public service announcement from Mike on the mic. Sherry, if you want, we haven't really given a straight-up recap yet, so we can get whoever's hanging out on the switchboard if they want to come in and ask Jillian a question or if they want to ask me a question, if they have an opinion on something, if that's something I think we've got some time for.
Tony, thank you for hanging on for so long. You're on with Jillian and Mike.
Oh, it's so good.
Welcome.
Hi, Mike.
I'm sorry. I didn't catch who it is. What's your name?
Tony.
Hey, Tony.
Yeah.
Oops, coming and going.
He had a connection really good earlier.
Ooh, sorry.
You don't hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. What's your take on this season 2 episodes in? Or who are you liking? Who are you not liking? And what kind of questions do you have for Jillian or myself if you do?
Yeah.
I don't hear him.
I think his connection is cutting out again.
Oh, no.
You got to pay that MCI bill. They're going to cancel service.
Maybe you can try again and get a different line.
I talked to him on the phone earlier, and his connection was just great. And I thought this was going to work out fine.
Try again, Tony. Pick up and let's see.
Call back in, Tony, and we'll try it one more time.
All right, got
it. All right, well, he's...
Well, we won't keep him holding on next time. We'll interrupt
him. Yeah,
Sherry,
he's
you know,
here,
both
just,
of us.
You're the safe word. Just scream coconut at me, Sherry, and I'll stop talking, and we'll get him back on, so... And well, that sucks to have a bad connection because Tony's always got an interesting perspective on every season. But yeah, I was surprised about Darnell too. The biggest thing I thought last week when we were talking to Trish was I think they wanted to break up Sydney and Darnell, and they knew that Sydney was probably a better player for them. But I'm not 100% sure.
Back on.
Okay.
Back
Tony.
On. Let's put him in. Let's try this again and see if it works. Hi, Tony.
Can y'all hear me now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Been going on for a week now.
It's still cutting out.
Still cutting out? Hello?
Yeah, just talk and we'll try to pick up what we can.
Okay. The with this new season is like, I get the feeling, you know, we have not seen a season like this before. Usually when a new season starts, a lot of times I'll, especially with newer seasons after Nicaragua, I'll get that feeling like, hey, this cast seems familiar. The season seems familiar. Like, you know, this season seems a lot like this other season. But with this new season, the cast is very, very rich and diverse.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not getting that sense of deja vu that I get a lot of times with new seasons. There's really not anybody that I really dislike. I love Alicia. I love the fact that she's standing strong on her own and not letting everybody, you know, get her down. And she worked on that fire and eventually got it going.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just amazing.
Five hours, but she got it lit, so.
Yeah, exactly. She didn't quit. And
that's determination.
I was disappointed after that to hear Jim. She worked on that fire for 5 hours while you were sleeping.
Yep.
And, mm-hmm. and I think he's the one that I'm not really liking so far. I mean, there's things I like about him, but he's because of, you know, what he's been through, and I, you know, thank him for his service. I mean, you just can't take that away from our veteran. But at the same time, you know, back in civilian life, you have to come to a point where, you know, okay, I don't know it all, and I can't boss everyone around. So,
mm-hmm.
And I was a little, I love Joe. Disappointed to see him kind of lose his cool a little bit, on this, second episode with, what's her name?
Liz.
Yeah. So I disappointed in seeing that. So I hope he doesn't become a hothead as the season goes on. But other than that, I'm curious to see now, Mike, you went to Andrea's event and you spoke with three of the beauty tribe.
Yes.
Did they mention anything about other than the conditions, the heat? It just seems like it can't be any worse than anywhere else that they've been. So I was wondering if there was just...
They talked in general about, yeah, the heat was bad. I think it was a couple months before Second Chances, so I think the heat was higher, the humidity was higher. I think there's going to be... There was some precipitation in Second Chances. I think it's going to be amplified here. They really didn't talk about the medical things directly. But
yeah.
It's pretty much known that there's going to be some severe medical issues for people,
well, yeah,
probably close to Micronesia, from what I've gathered. I don't have spoilers, but just the vibe there. And they were friendly, but I don't want to give away too much information, but the three of them were especially tight. And you know, Liz is even from the area, and she didn't make it just because of schedule reasons. But you know, Julie, Michelle, and Anna were very friendly, and very friendly with the fans, and just nice, and wanted to talk about the show. And they had all been fans of the show, which was cool because it's not the best when every single person seems like they've never watched a show. It's good for the TV show because it's kind of crazy because people aren't overanalyzing every maneuver they make. But it is also kind of bad when people don't know like simple things that happen in the game. So
I also
think it's tough not picking fans to play because then it's like, why bother? The whole thing's all about casting from wherever. They need to. I love it when there are fans that are put in the game. I mean, they need to. They want to. They try hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then the balance, because then you get your Scott Powers and Sydney's that, you know, were a little, you know, you're more of your recruit style and even some of the other people. But I think it's a good mix, and I would agree really with Tony that it's these people don't feel like it's carbon copy of some of these other people. And even when you look at Cagayan, we know we've had different cast members from Cagayan here. I don't see a Jeremiah among these people. I definitely don't see a Trish. And we've had Cass on before. None of these people, I would say, is Cass-like. They're just their own entities, and it's refreshing, you know. And the best part is the people on the show don't even look like the other people on this season. You know, sometimes, like, I think of Caramon, when there were four women that, until I watched the show, I couldn't even tell them apart, and that's just not good.
Yeah.
You want, you know, 18, 20, 16, you know, unique people that aren't like
other
people.
I was worried when they first announced it, and they were doing, you know, Brains versus Beauty versus Brawn again. I was worried that they were going to try to, kind of like what they did with San Juan del Sur, capitalize on that previous theme's success, and I just felt like it was a bad idea, it was going to fall apart. But like I said, it's almost like watching the first season again, because these people are so, like I said, they're so diverse and unique that we've never seen anybody like them before.
Mm-hmm. And with Joe, you get somebody who, you know, I think he started the season at 71, but by the time they got to internet for us, he's 72. So he's the second oldest player ever, but that harkens back to, you know, Rudy in season one. And
right.
His face looks like he's probably older than 72 or older, but that body, that doesn't appear to be 72. He's really put in a lot of time, and it's neat on a Brains tribe. You get street smart people like Joe, and then your book smart people like Liz, and it's putting them together with like the crazy smart people like your Neil, and then your Barack Obama style people in Pete, who I think Pete had one of the best jokes of the whole thing. I don't want to, you know, Debbie put herself out on Front Street, so no one's putting her out there besides herself, but just her bravado and Pete's line of, I wonder if she has 30 or 40 cats. I guess I'm definitely thinking 40. You know, I got two cats, and I know cat people and cat ladies are just eccentric, interesting people. And I thought it was, for somebody that was a little vanilla, first episode, it was a funny line. And just Debbie's just such a, just such an interesting lady, and I'd like to know more about her history, because I know she's a fan. I wonder, you know, she's been in the pipeline for a long time. I don't know, Jillian, do you have any insight on that, or if any Tony, anyone has any insight on Debbie's, you know, journey to get on the show? It's fascinating.
Debbie is one that I feel we're not getting enough of her past. Or her, there's aspects to her personality that we're not getting, at least not yet.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm waiting to see. I want to see some more of her personality come out. to like the
you
want to
see more of her personality?
I was going to say good grief.
Not, not personality, but her.
Like,
more
damn.
No, I mean like more of her past and.
Okay.
Yeah, and or anything that would give us clues to her past is really what I'm trying to say.
Okay. Jillian,
yeah.
What's your take on Debbie? Two seasons in.
Like I said, I started out saying I vowed and declared after being there myself that I would never say, you know, something specific, but she's certainly been out there. It's like, good grief.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you've got to remember editing. I mean, they just...
Of course, yes.
And they used every word she said, which made it look like she totally monopolized the entire tribe to begin with, and everybody's rolling their eyes, sitting on the couch at home, saying, what is the matter with you, lady? Yeah, so she's definitely one of those characters. She's, you know, she's not holding anything back, and they're capturing it on film and showing it. So who knows? And then, who knows?
Did you like the first episode where every time they did a confessional, she had a different profession because she self-proclaimed does, like, a lot of things? I thought that was kind of cute by the editors.
Yep. Yeah, that's funny. It's like, basically, what's the matter with you, lady? It's like, tone it down a little bit. You're going to get everybody wanting you out because they don't want to listen anymore.
Yeah. And that mania we were getting via editing, I want to definitely, say that that's probably a component of it. I imagine she was annoying even without the trumped up editing. Love the show. I mean, everyone has to be annoying at some time, but just, at a challenge, did it help having anyone cheer from the sideline? Was that advantageous? Because some of the people on Twitter were like, that never helped my season. Like, I didn't know, would it have helped for Randy to cheer you on at a challenge? I don't know. If that would have happened.
Randy probably wouldn't have cheered me on. You know, he called me an annoying old woman to begin with. I think there was the word useless thrown in, too. So it was, I think it was an annoying, useless old woman. sadly, I wasn't on very long, but during Fun Challenge, part of my life is that I do cheer people on. I do cheer them, and not endlessly, but they showed me cheering endlessly because I was being portrayed as this annoying woman. So I was cheering people on, and they couldn't hear you anyway because they were miles away. But, dear God, my tribe is – they said last night that this was what's the most useless tribe in Survivor history. Well, I'm sorry, but Jeff called us that. And the Fong tribe in Gabon was definitely – and he used lots of expletives right before that.
There's some
useless,
bad tribes. Yeah.
Useless. Useless, useless, useless. There was no pulling together. There was no collaboration. There was no – nothing. I mean, it was like, I don't know. Anyway, that for me was, basically what started. When my flame was extinguished out of tribal council, my flame for this huge fundraising event was lit. And so for that, I'll be forever grateful. Because I think a big part for me, actually, was that I beat Crystal in the first running race. And she was 31 and I was 61. And I didn't know it. I thought I was dead last. And she kept saying, God, he gives me the pair. She's too happy. That was a big part of being booted. So we can thank Crystal for Reality Rally, too. But, yeah. A lot of editing. I mean, they filmed, the statistics are for every minute that you see, they've used 300 minutes of film, and they pull out 1 minute to make the story. Otherwise, it would be boring. I mean, you need to see these characters come out.
For sure. And we're seeing a lot of different people, and it's unfortunate that people are getting positive and negative of who they were. It's interesting. And especially episode 2, by episode 10, people's whole presentation might change for what we see. So for sure.
But again, having come from the inside, we'll call it, there is so much more that goes on that people don't see from the couch. And it's always actually saddens me when I see, in fact, one of the instructions from the psychologist as we were leaving is don't read the threads and the, you know, the comments and everything. Because people mm-hmm. have some of the most horrible, nasty comments to make about people that they really don't know. They mm-hmm. know this person through what Survivor wanted us to see, and they yep. don't know that person. And if you want to make comments, you know, at least make them a little less horrible. I mean, some of the comments are so horrible. Mm-hmm. You know, give your opinion, but don't be so horrible about somebody. You don't know them, and actually, you don't yep. even know what kind of damage you may be doing to that person if they see those comments.
It's insane sad. The stuff that happens on Twitter and Facebook from people that, you know, I try to kid around, and I've tried, you know, there's some funny things, but I try never to be mean or malicious, but there's just amazing how what the things people say about these people and how, you know, how effective that is. I can't imagine having 10 million people talking smack about you on social media. It's got to be insane.
Right. And, you know, the thing is, I quite often feel like if somebody is that mean, malicious, horrible, perhaps that's the way they feel about themselves. And
yes.
so that is what they're putting onto somebody else. And, yeah, and you don't know these people. We know them based mm-hmm. on how we saw them. And actually, that's one of the things I love about the charity event. We get mm-hmm. to see people and talk to them and know them. And it's like, wow, they're really nothing
yeah.
like they were on the show. And
yeah.
that's what I love about it.
That's what I told Amy Cusack from Vanuatu when I first met her. I just didn't like her on the show, but she's so amazing in reality. Yeah, it's
yep.
not
yeah.
1 minute out of 300. It's, you know, some of these reality stars I see all the damn time, and, you know, I call people and just hang out and just, yeah, it's just this weird relationship I built after being a super duper fan for 14 years. It's,
yeah.
You know, it's shocking the way I just talk to Bob Crowley now after being his friend for so long. Just the, you know, I just wouldn't talk to somebody else like TV, but it's just, you know, I've used the man's shower in Maine. Like, I mean, I've slept on his couch for a week. So I, you know, we have a kind of rapport that's specialized. I guess we should actually recap the show a little bit in some chronological order. I happen to be watching it now. They're at the Beauty Tribe, and, you know, Ty already got in trouble for idol looking in episode one, but after the first commercial break from going from the Bronze Tribe, we've got Ty back at it, and he's doing a lot of cool things without even a clue to the idol, just the intuitiveness of him. The, you know, he's a gardener and he loves every bit of nature and he doesn't want you to kill a hornet, but he's ripping trees out looking for idols. And is I felt bad because sometimes you just dig around and you find an actual idol, but poor Ty had to find this and find that and try to climb this tree. You know, he's getting all bloodied up and he didn't get the idol, but by God, he sure tried.
Yep. Well, it's not easy. You know, when I was looking for elephant dung, yes, it was
mm-hmm.
to burn it to keep the bugs away, but I was also looking for an idol. I knew that
yeah.
nobody would come browsing around the jungle with me looking for elephant dung, so I knew I was safe. Didn't find
yeah.
one, but I went looking.
You gotta look. But then also Beauty Tribe, I think one of the funnier scenes in a while is just this, you know, dichotomy between Caleb and Ty, just because they're so different. I didn't like some of Caleb's remarks first episode. They were a little stereotypical for me about, you know, why is Ty even on the tribe, and he looks like Mr. Miyagi, and I don't remember Mr. Miyagi wearing glasses. So, but then they were big cuddle buddies, and I found that just fascinating. And then Ty's moment of the hashtag stolen kiss. So I didn't know what everyone's perspective was on the Ty-Caleb romance.
What was the thought out there?
What was what?
Yeah, what was the thought out there?
I don't know. He tried to get the kiss, and he's trying to get the food out, but no, and then and Caleb, I liked it. He's like, yeah, we can cuddle, and he's like, this isn't in a homophobic way, and I'm not 100% sure. I think Caleb's a good dude. I think in the back of his mind, he could be a little anxious about that. I don't know, but it was just—it's just their bond so unique, and watching everyone react to it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch it go forward.
Yeah, Tony, what was your take on? You said if you're still here,
yeah, I'm here.
And Caleb, the Taleb, or Kai, or whatever we're gonna call this budding bromance, and everyone's reaction to it. We got it pretty much, except for Nick. I think Nick didn't really have a definitive opinion.
No, I think they make a beautiful couple.
Cool.
Well, we'll see how that unfolds.
For sure, and I'm liking that Ty is a little less threatening to the rest of the tribe, because when he was looking for the idols like crazy, the girls had pretty much said, we're with Ty, and then he was alienated. So I hope he can get back in there, because I want him to do well, and I want those girls to do well. I think Caleb's going to be a big threat, and Nick will be too. So I'm curious if they make the merge, but, we'll see. But I literally am rewatching the episode for the third time, and Caleb just had the big fish in his tooth. I just was jumping right up for it. And then the look on Caleb's face was just, that should be a new meme, because, he's trying to say he doesn't have an issue with it, but I think Caleb might have had a small issue, so we'll see.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. But, the beauty tribe, like I said, there's not anyone I dislike on the tribe. I like them all, and if somehow they make it, which I'm expecting some sort of a switcheroo at some point, just because even though it's the theme of brains versus beauty versus brawn, they did the same thing in Cagayan. So I think in a couple more boots, we'll probably get some kind of a switch up, maybe to two tribes of seven, or maybe tribes of six, or maybe sooner than that. So we're going to mix up these, dynamics that everyone has with each other.
Well, that's what I actually liked about the last season, was it was unpredictable. There were a lot quicker switches. There were interesting things that happened that we hadn't seen before. You had to do that because these people had all played before. So, but for the viewer, I thought a lot of it was like, wow, how about that? I mean, it was like, wow, that's cool. So I thought all the unpredictability of it was good, and I think people like that.
For sure. And as I'm watching this now and reading my notes, then we go to the brain tribe, and it's got to be hard being a super cerebral player in a game that is very cerebral, but also is extremely physical. So it's the seeing Joe and Debbie, trying to connect everyone else, ostracizing them to an extent, and then Joe getting in an argument with Liz about, the different types of intelligence, Gardner's multiple intelligence is, you get a perfect SAT, but you can't, unscrew something. So it's interesting, the dynamics here. And then their reward, they get that huge fire kit for winning the other challenge, and they dump out their kerosene and overuse too much of it. And then the matches get wet, and it was interesting how they wanted to blame Joe real quickly, and I wasn't really sure, what Joe had done to contribute to that. I didn't know Joe controlled the rain, unless somebody said put the matches up, and he specifically didn't. And, anyone can bump into a bottle of kerosene. So I thought it was kind of, people were jumping on him. But then online I saw a lot of people didn't like how Joe reacted to Liz and saying, the whole episode this week was called Kindergarten Camp.
Yeah,
so
it was.
Some of the stuff Liz was bringing up are legitimately good ways to prevent insects from coming in. And, you can't just drink that water. Debbie is, and Sue Hawk and Rudy did. But, just because there's no quote-unquote chemicals in Cambodia doesn't mean there's not crap from animals and whatever else is in there. So I don't know.
Well, that's one of the biggest things that happens after Survivor is that people do come away with all kinds of parasites and problems. And I know on ours, we didn't have water either. And Dan kept saying, you know, oh, my gosh, can I just drink the water out of the lake? I said, choose, make a choice yourself. You can. It's there. Drink it.
Yeah.
Just keep in mind that there are a lot of parasites in Africa. So your choice. You can always try and get rid of the parasites. But people have even come back with heartburn and things that have taken a few years to cure. So I thought you were very smart. But you know what? Nobody likes to hear that sort of thing being suggested about, you know, don't do this or you shouldn't do that. And I mean, I suggested that some of our people complaining of being so hot get out of the sun. And it was like, well, quit telling us what to do. And I, you know, it wasn't like I was telling them what to do. It was making a suggestion that was physically sensible. So,
kindergarten camp, that's not, if it's hot, get out of the heat. Like if you're cold, if you're not in Survivor, put on a coat or don't go outside. I mean,
that's right.
I'm really thirsty. Well, you could probably put that water in your mouth, but you probably don't want to drink it. You probably don't want to put it in your mouth either.
No, not even.
So
it goes into your mucosa of your mouth, and that's where it starts. So, it's, you know, and I remember Maddie in my season was running around without shoes. Well, he's going to get a cut on his foot that's going to get really badly infected, and then it's going to affect his game. Just keep your shoes on. You know, no big brain. Just do
you are in Africa. I mean, Africa is, no offense, but when you think of this random continents, I would say Africa would be one of the most intense, maybe Asia. But you just don't want to run around and you just drink whatever water you can and you just run around barefoot or bare ass because who the hell knows what will happen to you.
And my take on it was, and I look at that every time, is to begin with, for heaven's sakes, keep your tribe as healthy and as strong as possible. Because you don't want to end up at tribal council. And that's why I thought Russell was such an idiot, dumping his tribe's water. If he was dumping the tribe's water, what's the matter with him? I mean, he's going to get these people even more dehydrated than they already are. And I'll tell you what, you are dehydrated. It's tough being out there without adequate water.
Was that the worst? The water, not even, the food probably didn't even set in during your time. It's got to be just that thirst.
Well, I was there 6 days and I lost 12 pounds. And I actually wasn't that hungry. And I actually discovered that gluten doesn't do very well with me because I was not eating. And I actually felt good, except I was very dehydrated. I remember my exit interview, I felt like a snarling dog because my lips were sticking to my teeth. It was like, I was so dehydrated. And the first time I went to the bathroom on a toilet where I could see it, I thought I had blackwater fever. It was like, oh, my gosh. Very dehydrated, very. That's one of the biggest things. You do definitely get dehydrated, you know, and hungry. But then I decided I'm an alien. I don't really care about food or anything, but boy, was I thirsty. I was so, it takes you 4 to 5 hours to get potable water. You've got to, you know, get the fire going. You've got to boil it. You've got to cool it. You've got to decant it into something. So, in our case, obviously, some of them have, a different kind of water supply. But I think the dynamics of Survivor is, it's incredible. I mean, they do know what they're doing in casting. They absolutely have the right people in every season. It just works. It's so good. Mm. And this season is turning out that way again.
Yeah, for sure. It's the formulas and how they figure that out and see you guys relate. It's crazy. Did you see other Jillians when you were in your finals, or anyone that you thought was similar to you, or anyone you really liked when you were just in that process, or people like, I think I would want to work with this person, or I didn't think I wanted to work with that person just because
when I was in cast, when I was in casting, you mean in the last
out of the finals, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely. I spent my entire time studying everybody. I was watching how they ate, because you can't talk. You can't look at each other. So I was watching how they ate. I was watching how they walked. I was watching how they sat. I was watching to see if they had humor when, because we had to watch some Survivor episodes together. I was watching everything to see how they were. And I remember when Bob walked into one of the rooms when we were all together doing something all together, maybe psych testing or something. I was sitting in the back of the room so I could see everybody. I wanted to watch everybody. And I saw this guy walk in and I said, what's he doing here? He's an old guy. And then I said, wait a minute, so are you. We are going to be the old people for the tribe. And, you know, and I watched Randy and I thought, you know, he's a grumpy old guy. And I watched Ace and I thought, he's a cocky guy. I watched, you know, Michelle and I thought, oh, she's a miserable girl. You know, and I just watched everybody and had made some decisions about people. And when I was going in, I'd actually seen some spoilers about Crystal being an Olympic gold medal runner. And so I studied her extensively because she was in my casting time. And I didn't know it, but when I got home, I saw the spoiler and I saw a picture of her. And I said, aha, she's an Olympic gold medal runner. I need somebody that's an Olympian and a runner. And it was either her that I was going to pick when I realized we were land-based challenges, or it was going to be Marcus, the cute guy.
So,
You've always got to have the cute guy if you can, but I picked Crystal because I needed a runner, and turned out she really wasn't. Well, she was, but she didn't run much anymore. So, I studied everybody. I studied them all.
And being a fan, I guess that part was fascinating to finally get to that stage and fight to, you know, get on the show. When did you kind of know you had a good shot once you were in that process? Did you feel pretty strong during it, or were there ebbs and flows, or...?
It's kind of hard to tell, but the fact that you don't get sent home is a good thing. So I stayed for the whole 2 weeks. I wasn't sent home, but I'd seen the numbers dwindle every day. And, you know, I don't know if you know, I'm sure you know, but Bob was actually sent home because he said he couldn't be mean. He's a teacher. He said, I'm going to be horrible. And so Jimmy Johnson was going to be the other old guy, and he was diagnosed with a cardiac issue. So Bob was pulled back. Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. So, as a fan, and, you know, I followed the rules so extensively. I just was not going to break one of the rules because I was not going to lose this chance that I was so close to. And I was one of the few that went into my season without an alliance. Everybody, many of the others had either sneaked a note or winked or smiled or something. And I wasn't going to because I was not going to be sent home. So when I got into the tribe, Susie said to me, my gosh, we thought you were the coldest, grumpiest old lady ever. And I said, well, thanks, but I'm not. But that was because I was following the rules.
Yeah, and I think there's a certain part of the SCG mindset that I don't think they wanted to get in trouble necessarily, but I think they kind of like people that they're going to push the envelope and do stuff to get reprimanded. It's an interesting... you know, thing, but then you've been fighting for a long time, so you don't want to do anything crazy, but somebody that maybe was found in a bar in Santa Monica will be more apt to just do something weird just because they don't know, you know, how the small thing could get them sent home. Crazy.
And some of them do. I mean, I know Ace pushed the envelope several times, too, and I mean, but I wasn't going to chance it. I was just not going to attempt that. So I didn't.
It's smart you didn't. It's happened to me on my TV now. It was neat seeing because there's been sometimes they're back-to-back seasons, same place. We have a unique challenge. It was something that I haven't seen before. I really enjoyed that, seeing a new challenge with new components and for something big, the fishing gear. And what was your guys' perspective on the challenge? Did you like it? Did you not like it?
I did.
Listen.
Yeah.
I think we lost Tony again. I liked the fact that they were different and they were new because so many of them are repeats, and obviously they did repeats for the last season so that they could say, you know, and so was in the challenge in their season. But I liked it that it was totally new. I liked them. I just love that. That's what hooked me on Survivor was getting the challenges. I just love challenges. So I thought they were great. I liked them.
it was a good thing, and it got to show their different mindset. You know, there was a brawn component and a brain component to this thing, and it was I'm just really surprised because the history there, the brain tribe last time was just so problematic, and this time they've really turned it around, and they finished second, and Beauty won this one, so they kind of flip-flopped there, but the brawn tribe just I don't know what the hell that was. The Bronze Tribe is just doing terrible, and they were sent back to Tribal Council. The sit-outs are interesting. I can see carrying a 300-pound log. That might not be the best thing for Debbie or Julius. So those kind of made sense for me. But the cheerleading here is just, you know, I would appreciate some of that, and even Julia cheered, but you're just Debbie talking about everyone's frontal lobes and, you know, all this weird stuff. I was expecting her to sing just because that was the next thing. She's from Pennsylvania. She's an older, interesting woman. I didn't know if she was going to sing too. Maybe they told her not to because I guess Wanda got them in some trouble with some copyright issues. So I don't know.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well, there again, she just sang and sang and sang, and sadly she didn't get to play.
Yeah. Well, I think I've heard something like on iTunes now, if you try to go watch her season, that when she was on the beginning of it, they edited some of that out just because they didn't want to pay the licensing fee for some of the songs she was singing. So
I didn't know maybe that Debbie wanted to sing.
Yeah, maybe Debbie wanted to sing and they said no. So
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that's true, actually. I didn't think of that. That's very true. Huh.
Yeah. But, they go back to camp, and it should be 4-1 against Alicia, but that wasn't what Jenny was all about. I found it very interesting that she wanted to make a move and not be content, and it ended up costing her getting the boot, I think, and unless there was something else going on. And that was just interesting that she was in a good position, and then, you know, talked about doing something else, then changed her mind, then they get to tribal, and then Probes manipulated people, and some strong people twisted it around, and she got sent home. It was just a very interesting last 10 minutes of the show.
Well, there again, though, you know, hold your words and your idols that you found close to your chest, because you just don't know how it's going to affect you. And good grief, her opening statement almost was, well, everything's up in the air. I mean, you saw Scott's reaction and
Jason's
reaction.
Yeah.
It was like, whoa. I mean, that was her nail in her coffin. When she said that. She just should have not said anything. And remembering again, the tribal goes on for a long time. It isn't just the few minutes that we see. So, you know, that was her nail in her coffin. Was that?
And then the whole, I didn't know what the heck she was doing when she stood up on the stump or whatever.
What was that?
I tweeted, your heart and game won't go on, because she looked like from Titanic, and some people like that tweet too, but it was just, it was the strangest, weirdest thing. I didn't understand it, and I don't know if you don't believe my plea, I'm being sketchy, but if I stand on this log and tower over you, I'll build your trust back. I just didn't get it. And she went home, so I guess I didn't need to get it. But I wrote down some notes. I found it interesting that it was 3-2 because Jason switched at tribal, but the person that voted Alicia besides Jenny was Scott. So I guess he didn't, as frustrated as everyone else was, Sydney and Alicia voted for Jenny, and so did, wait a minute, I'm mixing it up.
Yeah,
they voted for Alicia, Jason, and Sydney all went for Jenny, and she went, they're calling Alicia Blondie and Ditzy, but she did, or if you looked at her vote, she put it as Jenny from Forrest Gump, so I found that weirdly ironic. So I don't know if she's making fun of Jenny, if she's making fun of, I don't know what she was making fun of, but I just found it, I think it's a fun little thing to watch. It's how people vote for each other. Like if they intentionally spell people's names wrong or, you know, put weird things in parentheses or, you know, smile or put a sad face on it. And she put Jen A. So.
Jen got it. But, you know,
yeah.
They don't. I think every episode of The Bond said, we've got to get rid of Bob. Got to get rid of Bob. So that was aired every time. So she's probably going to go far.
Yeah, at least she could be in the finals. We never, who knows? I don't think
well,
so.
Well, yeah,
but...
We've had a few people that have ended up on the finals, and you've wondered sort of like they've skated right through. But again, maybe they didn't skate through. Maybe they earned it, and we just didn't see it.
Yeah. There's a few people that they're never really told the story because there's big personalities. I think the biggest one's Sophie in South Pacific. We just never got to see her, and it was all coach, and Brandon, and... She comes through and wins, and she gets like, well, I don't think she's a good winner. Well, we didn't get to see her to even have an opinion of her.
Well, the same thing with Sandra, actually. It was like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Because you just didn't see much of her either. And again, you know, we're the public, you know, on the couch, are watching what we're being shown. And they make a story, and it's a good story. Otherwise, it still wouldn't be on. I mean, it's a very good story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which we all love. But yeah, pretty cool.
What's
and
your
I'm just so honored that I was on it.
Oh yeah. Life, you know, you're among what 400 and what is it, 78 people I think that have done the show.
Yeah.
So
wow. Yeah, there you go.
What do you think's gonna happen going into the next little bit here? Any predictions on anything or?
No, I don't. I just don't know. I think Joe and Debbie are cooking up something, and that's going to become a bit of an issue. I think I can see something coming around. And that's the other thing. Usually what we see a glimpse of, like what's next on next week sort of thing, whatever the line is that we use. There's usually a lead. Yeah, next time on Survivor. There's usually a lead into something that's going to happen. Yeah, and some of them, gosh, we don't even know them yet. We haven't seen much of them at all. And so we'll have to see them all develop.
I hope they get some more development for some of these. For some of the players, we haven't really gotten to see Nick. Not much at all, and a few other people. Some of the, just more confessionals and more talking to them. They might be, they may not be big characters yet. Maybe they will be down the road, but I want to know some more about these players. I'd be curious. I do think something will come down between Debbie and Joe if that's what they're showing. And I'd be curious. I think if Beauty went, Ty's in trouble just because looking for the idol. And Braun goes, not 100% sure there. They would probably cut Alicia even though they've worked with her, but I think Sydney, Scott, and Jason would want to stay together. And then in Brains, I'm really not sure. I think they might target Debbie just because some people are annoyed by her. But I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Either Debbie or Joe, because already people are saying, he's too old to be playing. And in 6 days, you really don't have the opportunity to show what you're made of. So, people might think, they're just old. But they're actually pretty good. I mean, he's pretty awesome for 72. I mean, I'm so impressed. And yes, he was 71 when he played, but.
Oh, yeah.
I take my hat off to the guy. He's awesome.
He's not your average 71 year old, so.
Nope. So good for him. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. The Survivor always is. The casting is great. The characters are awesome, and the editing, and of course, the filming. I mean, the scenery is always absolutely outstanding. It really does increase tourism. You want to go to these places, and you want to see them. But yeah, it's pretty cool.
I can't wait. If I won the Powerball, one of the things I want to do is go to all the locations. I mean, there's nothing much to see from the camps and stuff, but you can still see these amazing environments. So that would happen.
Yep, it's beautiful. Beautiful scenery. So,
well,
good season.
Sherry, do you want to do the promo before Jillian goes so we can give one more shout-out to Reality Rally?
Sure. I would love to hear it because I think it is so awesome, and thanks, Paul, for making it, and I would love it that people could hear it again because it's great, and I obviously have it as well, and I share on and off. So, yeah, thank you. If
Absolutely.
You wouldn't mind, that would be great.
Absolutely. Please. Here we go.
Cancer don't discriminate, or care if you're just 38.
This is Jillian from Survivor, and as you know, from Reality Rally. And we do the most amazing event every April in Temecula, California, raising money. We call it Funds for Funds, and the money goes to Michelle's Place, which is a breast cancer resource center, providing services and support for men and women and their families who are fighting the fight of their lives with breast cancer. I encourage everybody to go to realityrally.com. The event this year is
April 7th, 8th, and 9th, 2016.
Be a part of what we do. We have parties at wineries. We have an amazing race kind of game. We have autograph signing, and it is all for fun for Michelle's Place, but it is also for the public to come and meet over 110 reality stars from about 42 different reality shows. And you get to meet them and have fun all weekend meeting them, taking pictures. So come on down. It's realityrally.com.
It's April 7th, 8th, and 9th.
That's what my love is for. When you're weak, I'll be strong. You let go.
We have fun for everybody. People can sponsor, donate, volunteer, enjoy it, play a game, come to parties, support our sponsors. And I always have to thank the Rad Reality Show, who has been on board helping us promote this event since 2010. Without them, there would be people that would know nothing about it. So Manic Monday, thank you for what you do, and also the other Rad Reality Shows that we've had the opportunity to be on. So thank you, Rad Reality Show. We love you guys. It's realityrally.com, and this is Jillian from Survivor and Reality Rally, thanking everybody for what you do to make this such a reality every year as we help save some lives.
I'm gonna love you through.
Okay, so this is Jillian from Survivor, Gabon, and Reality Rally, and I want to thank the Rad Reality Show for all the promotion that they have done for us for Reality Rally. And mention that Reality Rally, the sixth year, is coming up. It is April 7th, 8th, and 9th this year, 2016. That is Thursday through Saturday night. It is all raising funds for Michelle's Place Breast Cancer Resource Center. And this is why we all do what we do. And I want to thank everybody out there who is part of this event to make that happen so that we can provide funds for Michelle's Place to provide services to those struggling with breast cancer. We're expecting about 130 reality TV stars who are coming from approximately 56 different reality TV shows for you to meet and hear all about it. So check out realityrally.com, look at the Reality Star link, and the final list will be on February 11th so that you can see who's actually coming, because the Reality Stars are raising money in order to qualify to be there. We have a lip sync contest. We have an amazing race kind of game. We have a festival with characters for children, an autograph signing for with the Reality Stars, a celebrity chef showcase, a celebrity reception at Wilson Creek Winery, a casino by Feeling Lucky Entertainment, a red carpet for the stars and then the public to get on. We have an amazing deal, a VIP fan pass, to make it easy for fans to get to Temecula and enjoy this weekend. And it is just an endless, endless fun weekend. I encourage everybody to hop on. It's realityrally.com. All the information and ticket sales is on there. And you can buy, purchase, donate, and donate to Reality Stars. through that site as well. So thank you, Rad Reality Show, for everything you've done. You've been faithful for 6 years, and thank you so much for that. And this is Jillian, realityrally.com, April 7th, 8th, and 9th of 2016, raising funds for Michelle's Place Breast Cancer Resource Center. That's realityrally.com, Reality Star Lineup.
What a great promo. I let the entire thing play that time. That's sort of two clips in one.
Thank you.
But such a great, great clip. And Paul did such a wonderful job on that.
Yeah, he certainly did. So thank you. Every time I hear it, I think, wow. I mean, I just think it's awesome. So thank you so much. It really captures everything we do. And thank you, Jerry Boys, having us on. And thank you, Mike, for having me on Mike on the mic.
Woo!
Good time.
Well, thank you so much for coming, and we really appreciate it. And I'm glad to talk about an amazing event and your experiences and your opinions. So thank you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yep. Well, it's 8:31, and by God, I don't have anything else to say about Survivor. So, I guess we can give shout-outs to some of the other programs on the Rad Reality Network, but that's all he said, I guess, from all she wrote. So that's all I got.
And all right,
well, thank you so much,
Jane. Thank you, you guys. You're awesome.
I hope you have
a great
best
day.
Year ever, Jillian. Take care, babe.
Thank you. I'll certainly
now,
keep
are,
you up
are you
gonna
on what's
Monday?
Going
on. Yes, I am, actually. Thank you.
Okay, I thought so. I'm going to make an announcement right now on who's coming out on Monday. Just wanted to make sure and verify that before I mentioned it. So just verify.
Yeah, thank you.
I make that announcement. So, all right. Well, you take care, babe. Have a great night. And I guess I'll be talking to you again on Monday.
Yeah, thank you so much, Sherry. All right.
Take care. All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Mike.
You have a great night, too, hon.
You too. I'm going to go walk another mile or two, so see ya.
All right. Good night.
Night.
I want to remind everybody to come back Sunday night for the Amazing Race Second Pit Stop Show with Louis Stravato. And I believe he's going to have a great guest coming up this Sunday night. And then that's at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. And then Manic Monday, she's going to have Tiffany and, oh gosh, now I forget the other girl's name, Krista from The Amazing Race, as well as Jillian Larson from Gabon, Survivor Gabon, back with us on Monday for the Manic Monday show at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. So make sure you join us for both of those shows, then back here again next Thursday for Mike and the Mic again. All of our shows are on at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. So make sure you join us every Sunday, Monday, and Thursday. We're going to close this one out with Ron, as we always do. I hope everyone has a great weekend. Just come back to us on Sunday night for the Amazing Race Second Pit Stop Show with Louis Stravato. Here's Ron to take us out for the night.
Thank you, everyone. I'm signing off, too. I'm going to finish off the show with, oh, man, what am I going to finish off with tonight? I've got lots of stuff I can finish off with tonight. But you know what I'm going to finish off with tonight? I'm going to do this one. Sweet Dreams.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down a road and back again. Your heart is true, you're a pal and a confidant. And if you threw a party, invited everyone you knew, well, you would see the biggest gift would be for me, and the car. Thank you.
Okay, we're at the end of tonight's show. I just want to give a special thanks to a couple of our longtime listeners, Jason and Thomas, who's been out here in the chat room chatting with me. Thank you guys so much. I just love our loyal fans who have been with us for so long. And I know we have a lot of podcast listeners who are just as loyal, and you mean just as much to me. God bless you all. So have a great weekend. Thank you all so much for being fans of the Rad Reality Show. We're going to wrap this one up. Time to close. So good night, y'all. It's a wrap.
Good night.